Right. So hello, everybody, and welcome to our case study call for NEPT for the month of July 2018. I was just about to say 17. I don't know why. So today we're here to go over cases, whatever cases you've submitted, and we have two tonight. We have a Lori who submitted like three or four different labs, and then Michelle who submitted, I think, three. So what we're going to do is start with Lori, and I'm going to open up the form that you filled out, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about, is this you or is this someone else, or do you prefer not to say?
This is myself.
Is yourself. Okay. You know, that's something I really like about our program, and I know other programs make a rule that you're not allowed to bring your own self as a client to the cases. Personally, I like that, and I actually like it a little bit better than when you bring another person, because I'm going to have a ton of questions that you may not have thought of, right? And if you're right there, you can answer me and we could keep going. Otherwise, if it's just somebody you're talking about, you're just going to make this list and have to go back and get the answers to it, and you won't necessarily have the answer. So I think from a learning perspective, I find it really useful to actually do these live cases with the person in question, right? And it also gives you the opportunity to see, like, you know all this stuff because it's you. Although sometimes I may ask you something you've never thought of, like making connections between timing and things like that. But we need to get in that mode and that habit of, when we're talking to people, just like our heads buzzing with questions. I'm just going to give you a little example of something that happens a lot to me, and I'm sure it happens to you as soon as people hear what you do and that you're into health coaching. Is that my husband said, oh, I was talking to my friend so-and-so, and he told me that he has hypertension, and he doesn't want to go on any medication for it. He asked me if you could tell him what to do. Right? Okay, so if I was an allopathic, homeopathic, naturopathic type person, I'd say, oh, I'll tell him to get some hawthorn berry to strengthen his heart, and tell him to go get some horny goat weed. And, you know, I'd name off all these things, get him on magnesium, and I could make a list of things that could be effective with hypertension. But the point is, I don't know anything about this guy, right? I don't know why he has hypertension. I don't know if his blood sugar's out of whack. I don't know what he's eating. I don't know if he has nutrient deficiencies. I don't know if he's, like, you know, a stress cadet, right? So it's really not doing people a service that, even if you can kind of think of, well, you know, it could be this and you can try this herb, you're not really doing that person a service. Unless it's an acute thing. I just got a bee sting, right? What should I do? Okay, pack it with some turmeric and vitamin C paste. Take some homeopathic, is it Apis? You know, and various things like that we could do for acute stuff, right? But for this chronic stuff, we're not doing anybody a service by just shooting off the mouth at the five different things that you may think of off the top of your head that they could try. You could incorporate that in a conversation if you're having that conversation with somebody. Well, there's a lot that goes into it. I'd really want to sit with you for some time and ask you a lot of questions so we could actually get to the root cause. Some of the possibilities might be, we'd look at your diet. We'd look at your stress levels. We'll look at how you're sleeping. We'll look at, you know, there are some herbs and nutrients. You might have some imbalances and that could be contributing. So you could be giving them, like almost teasing them with what you could do for them, but you're doing a disservice to them to just give them a list. Because you know what? It lets them off the hook. It just totally lets them off the hook, because they go, oh, yeah, great. I'll just try these different things and maybe one of them will work. Okay, so that's why we do these cases. And I'm glad, and I know I'm going off at the mouth for a little while, but it really comes from, I like the fact that it's you here with me, and I can ask you the questions directly and saying, did you ask this? Did you ask this? Did you ask this? Right? All right. So are we ready? Everybody ready? Okay. So I'm going to share my screen, and I've got Lori's labs up right here. Well, this one might not be yours because I was just getting them in order, but Lori's is over here. So Lori, this is your case that you filled out. Why don't you run through and just tell us a little bit of the background? So if I were to say to you, Lori, I'm so glad you're here. I see you're in the right place. You've got some things going on here. Look, tell me a little bit more about what your main complaint is and what you'd really like to get resolved.
Great. So thank you, to your point, for allowing us to use ourselves as a case study, because I think that's an incredible opportunity that I wouldn't find anywhere else. Mm. And I brought myself to this venue because in seeking input from an osteopath, a naturopath, an acupuncturist, there are some stumbling blocks. We couldn't make the connections, and I know you will, and I know I'll learn a lot from this, so thank you.
Good. Great. Well, thank you for the confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. So just briefly, I'm here because I've struggled with being overweight my whole life. Mm-hmm. And with the exception of maybe ages 12 to 32, when I was consistently involved in athletics and stopped eating everything my mom and my grandmothers made for me, you know, I've struggled with weight. So since 32, I've been up and down, yo-yo weight. I lose it, I gain it back, I lose it, I gain it back. Mm-hmm. I think in trying to make the connections in our health history, and I was doing this for myself in my early 30s, the late 90s, it's interesting that I had about 8 mercury amalgams removed, probably not removed correctly. And I had 2 root canals put in a very high-stress career that resulted in a diagnosis of hashitoxicosis. My TSH was 0. I couldn't move. Everyone here knows the story and the symptoms. I was overweight. My heart was racing. And I didn't have Dr. Rita Marie or Dr. Isabella Wentz then, but my endocrinologist was pretty good. And she said, you know, with dietary changes and some exercise, you might put this into remission. So I went to it, and I never went on medication. And you should know I've never been on thyroid medication. But I did get it mostly into remission, with the exception of those dang it antibodies. All my labs normalized in 6 to 9 months. My TG and my TPO antibodies were still in the thousands.
Ooh.
Yep. So I did notice little things like giving up my morning milk and my tea helped lower my antibodies a little bit, but of course the endo, she shrugged it off. And so far with supplementation, I still haven't gone on.
So your thyroid numbers are normal now. So your TSH is what, the 1-ish?
5-ish.
0.5-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
And fast forward to, I don't know, 2013, I was in pretty good health and weight. I saw a naturopath, do my annual blood work, check my thyroid, etc. And she suggested going on 100 milligrams of selenium and 10 milligrams of zinc. And that was a game changer for me. It made my thyroid numbers even better, and I saw the antibodies start to creep down. Mm-hmm. So in 2014, I made a career change that was very good. It reduced my stress and anxiety significantly. And so that's the thyroid.
Tell me a little bit, do you know the number? I know I'll look, but do you know off the top of your head the numbers? When you say they normalized, right? TSH went up. But what happened with, did anybody help you to look at the ratios between T3 and T4? Because it sounds like that was an impact, that was impacted when you started with selenium.
Yep. So with dietary changes in selenium and zinc, all of my thyroid numbers, even all the entire gamut, the whole panel, with the exception of the antibodies, were perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
And but the antibodies have been, you know, the sticking point.
Okay.
And so I, for me right now, they stand at about, I think, 269. And I know that's alarming to you, but for me, that's coming down from in the thousands. That's over 17 years. So, and it's really only in the last 5 years that I've, with people like you and Isabella Wentz, have I really started to understand the connections between why those antibodies won't come down. But it was a major victory.
Mm-hmm.
When TG antibodies came down from the thousands to 0. That's normal.
Oh, wow. That's normal. So it's just the TPO that's elevated.
Just the TPO, although right now I do have reverse T3, which is for the first time in 5 years high. I went on that website that you mentioned in one of your calls. What's it called? The thyroid is good or the thyroid is bad. What's it, where you do your
fasting? Thyroid madness? Is that the one with the carotene? Yes.
And so right. I did that this afternoon in prep for this call, and I saw that I'm doing a heavy metal detox, and I saw that your reverse T3 can be elevated when you do a heavy metal
detox. Oh, for sure.
But that was one of my questions too. Why did that reverse T3 pop up like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense. If that's, you know, whenever we start to do any kind of heavy detox, especially heavy metals, because it's really intense, it puts a big strain on the body. And, you know, when we think about RT3, RT3 is the brakes and free T3 is the accelerator. And so if your body's not perceiving it safe to put the accelerator on, it's going to put the brakes on. So chronic illness, and I would say that your body can perceive a heavy metal detox as an illness. Acute illness is what I really meant. An illness, because suddenly there's this flood of chemicals and flood of work that the liver has to do. So it's like, well, let's not give her energy to go run and jump and play. Let's just turn all this energy inward so that we can heal. And that's what happens. And when we start to see some of those people that are in either really a chronic state or an acute illness, we'll see that reverse T3 go up and the free T3 go down. And if we try to push it, like if you put somebody in that situation on T3, ooh, you're doing them a disservice, right? Yeah, they look good on paper, but they feel crappy, right? So it's really important for us to honor the body and its wisdom and ask those questions. Why did that reverse T3 suddenly go up? What is that stressor that my body's perceiving that's saying, no, slow down. I'm making that free T3. Let's revert it over here. Let's put on the brakes a little bit and let's conserve energy so that we can get the healing done.
And I should mention my stress in my life is probably the lowest it's ever been right now.
That's great.
So I suspect, like you said, I suspect the heavy metal detox, given that I've been doing it for 7 months now, and you do level 1, 2, and 3, and I'm on level 3. I just finished today, actually. So I'm hoping that reverse T3 normalizes when I
yeah. Yeah.
But so that's it. So second issue, you said complaint, but, you know, issues, goals, whatever. You know, I put on about 40 pounds in the last 2 years. It's very concerning. I can see my all my blood work in the cardio area creeping up. It's concerning to me. I see other numbers creeping up that never creeped up before. I just turned 50. I'm about 5'4", so I know what my task is and what I have to do. And I went on the sweet spot solution at the beginning of June. I dropped 10. Of course, my energy's gone up. It's made the detox, heavy metal detox, more efficient. And I think most importantly, it helped a big mental shift, which had to happen, that this is how I have to eat for life. And I can't just diet to lose the weight to eat like crap again. You know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That was going to be my next question was, yeah, let's look at your diet. Cause when you hear all this stuff, and there's a lot of really educated people like you are, and you learn all this stuff, you listen to summits, you take courses, you really start to apply stuff. But there's still always that little underlying, well, once I get better, I can go back and have my chocolate chip cookies again, right? Yeah. And we've got to get to the point where it's like, what do you like more, feeling amazing or chocolate chip cookies? Like, yeah, chocolate chip cookies taste pretty good, but I'm telling you, I don't feel as good. I'm never going to trade how I feel for chocolate chip cookies ever again. It just ain't worth it. And that's where, from our perspective of coaching people, is helping people to get really in touch with that, so that if the best thing in your life is your chocolate chip cookies, we need to really look at helping you rebuild your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
So that's the thing. So are you, if you're on sweet spot, if you say you did the sweet spot, did you do the elimination diet and the low glycemic and testing your blood sugar and you're keeping it in a nice tight range? And
you know, I'm not beating myself up over this, but it really is impossible for me when I go out to eat with folks to stay pristine, to do that. And I just know what I have to do the very next day to get back on it. So I would say I test my blood sugar nonetheless. So I can see the day I go off, I'm out of range. And then within 1 day of coming back, like today, like right before getting on this, I tested it. You know, it's in the mid 90s. For me, that's good. you know, for me, that's good. I know it needs to be better, but for me, that's a big improvement as to where it was spiking up to.
Yeah.
And that seems to be one of the root causes of losing weight. And so I'm off to a good start, but I have a long haul ahead of me.
It could also be a root cause of the Hashimoto's. I've seen that a lot, where we finally get somebody's blood sugar. They've tried everything over the years, and we get their blood sugar in balance, and suddenly the antibodies drop back down. We had that one amazing example was Beatrice, who came on to Sweet Spot, and within 4 months, her antibodies, which had been elevated her entire life, she'd been on thyroid medication since she was 14, normalized. Now, not everybody has that dramatic a change that quickly, but there's, it's like finding that little cog. That's your cog. And when I want to go back to the indulgences when you go out, certainly when you go out, it is a little bit more difficult, not impossible, but some of the things will give you a temporary setback. Like say, you know, mangoes raise your blood sugar, but you just can't resist that beautiful mango, and you eat the mango, your blood sugar goes up. That's something you can recover from pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. All right. However, if you go out and you have the cake or the pie or the bread and you get gluten or any of the antibodies that cross-react with gluten into your system, that can affect your antibody levels for 6 months. Okay. So that's what I want you to keep in mind. If you're going out there and you're saying, well, it's hard to do. I've been doing it for 30 years. Yeah, it's hard to do and it gets easier, but it's worth it to not have a setback on an autoimmune condition, because that can take you 6 months. Yeah, a little bit of sugar might raise it a little bit. You get it back down and you keep it steady for weeks on end. That once in a while on a mango is not going to hurt you. But if it's a piece of bread, it can hurt you for 6 months.
And that's a really important point. Thank you. Because you're saying one bad meal can set you back for months.
I'm going to say even more than that. Sitting next to somebody who drops a crouton into your food, or a crumble, a piece of a crouton, and it gets into your food and you eat it unbeknownst, that can set you back. A little tiny morsel. If there's studies out there, you can go look in Medline, that even this tiny little portion, I think it was Tom O'Brien who said something like it was, a thousandth or a tenth, whatever it was, of a piece of bread. And one of our people, I think it was Beatrice, who said, I took my husband's bread and I cut that bloody thing into that number of pieces that he said. And let me tell you, that little piece was this much. You'd not even notice it if it was in there. And that's scary, that that small thing can affect you so dramatically. And gluten and thyroid, gluten and Hashimoto's can, it's traumatic. And when people go off of it 100% for 6 months or more, that's when you usually see that dramatic shift.
Well, thank you. That really helps me shift to another place. Like, there's a downside to being like perfect, putting that kind of pressure on yourself too. Yeah. But at the same time, you have to experiment. And so I can try and do perfection for months and see if it brings it down. That's the other reason I did the heavy metals detox, is because I did have elevated levels of inorganic mercury. That's concerning. Mm-hmm.
There could be another. And the stuff started around when you had your mercury. You had a mercury taken out without the rubber damming and all that kind of stuff. Right. Had a root canal put in. So that toxic load, absolutely.
Right. So layer by layer, I'm peeling these potential root causes, yep, of the Hashimoto's back. In the meantime, though, turning age 50, no surprise, I have other things popping up, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that I think your program might have helped save me from a stroke or a heart attack. I really believe that. So that's more motivation to stay on course.
And you know, I tend to be harsh in a loving way, if you know what I mean, with people. And like I said, okay, so I'm not perfect either. I was just away. We were in Mexico where they grew these beautiful mangoes and papayas and jackfruit, which I've never had fresh. And we went out, we bought a bunch of stuff, and we took it back. And it was like after dinner, and it was 10 o'clock at night. I know we shouldn't eat at 10 o'clock at night. And my husband got up all this beautiful fruit. And the worst thing for me to eat at 10 o'clock at night is going to be a big plate full of fruit, knowing that. They said, you know what? Today's my feast day. So I feasted and I had pineapple, I had mango, and I had jackfruit at 10 o'clock at night. And within 45 minutes, guess where my blood sugar was? Anybody want to guess?
90.
188.
That must have freaked you out.
I was like, oh no, right? And honestly, I had been maintaining my blood sugar the whole week we're out there between 65 and 90. It rarely went above 90, and that was usually when I overexercised. But it was mostly between 65 and 90. So it shoots up to 188. Right. So it had been probably 75 or something like that after my wonderful meal of avocado and salad, you know, and I was shocked. Okay. It'll come right back down. And I think because I did it at night like that, it didn't come right back down. I woke up, had to pee 4 o'clock in the morning, all that mango juice, and it was still 108. Got up in the morning. It was still over 100. And all that day, couldn't get it. I could get it down in the 90s. I couldn't get it down below that. And over the course of the last few days, I'm getting it down. Haven't hit 60. I haven't been back in the 60s since. I've gone as low as 70s, even with like 18 hours of intermittent fasting. So it did set me back, right? Not in a way that I feel crappy or anything like that, but chemically, it did set me back. Will I do it again? Yes. But will I do it again? I'm going to have one of these, a quart of green smoothie, and I'm going to be drinking my smoothie and having a bite of mango and drinking my smoothie and having a bite of mango, because I know from experience that I can still enjoy my mango as long as I do it right and I slow it down. So I'm saying all this because I know nobody's perfect, but make certain what Susan Pierce Thompson calls bright lines, right? I love that concept. I've always done that's been my whole life. When she called it that, I'm like, oh, that's how I live my life. I have bright lines. There's certain bright lines I will never cross. I don't care. I'll be hungry. I'll go out with my friends and I'll drink water because I won't cross those bright lines.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I did that program. It was actually how I found this whole wonderful holistic online community. And we did it religiously, both my partner and I, and I lost about 15 pounds. At that time, I weighed 20 pounds less. So I was pleased, but I plateaued. I just plateaued.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I plateaued because of the Hashimoto's. I didn't know if I plateaued because I wasn't approaching it with the sweet spot solution perspective, but it just wouldn't budge for months after plateau.
Yeah. But I'm saying her bright lines and my bright lines may be different. My bright lines and your bright lines might be different.
Right.
So the bright lines, if you have Hashimoto's, need to be absolutely, positively no gluten, no dairy, no refined sugar. None, zero, zip, nada, ever even get close to your lips. Right? Mm-hmm. If mangoes cause your blood sugar to go up and occasionally you eat mango, big deal. Right?
Right.
Take extra berberine, you know, work out a little bit more, get your sugar down. But those things need to be really clean. And then other things like nothing that's GMO, right? Because it's going to affect your microbiome. And Hashimoto's is so connected to gut health.
Yes.
Anything that's going to injure your gut, out, right? So I love her no flour, no sugar. But I'll add to that, no gluten at all, mm-hmm. right? And I would say get yourself on a regime of no grains for a month.
Yeah.
Like a real, here's what I've been doing. It's a plant-powered keto. I have been in ketosis even through my mango thing. I've still stayed in a mild state of ketosis on 100% plant-based diet. Not drinking tons of olive oil, no oil. Whole food fats, plenty of them, as much as I want, with tons of vegetables, right? So that's the kind of approach that some people need. And it's not at all depriving. Plenty of avocados and olives and coconut and nuts and seed and tons of vegetables. But staying away from those grains and the sugary things that are going to raise it. And give yourself a month on that. And during that month, if you go out, be pristine. Because, you know, this isn't for life. Some of this is for life, right? some of it is for life, but being just eating vegetables and whole food fats, yeah, that doesn't have to be for life. That's a therapeutic regime. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's a lot of it is mindset. And this is a lot of where learning the mindset pieces and really going through it yourself helps you to help other people. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. What else? Anything else we need to know from here? Oh, you're taking a bunch of vitamins.
Yeah.
And you're on the heavy metal detox. Is that the Quicksilver heavy metal
program? Yeah. And I know, I mean, everything is pros and cons. I know that they have the plant-based, non-GMO, glycerin preservative. I'm not thrilled about that. But I have seen pretty incredible results on their supplements. You know, I had low B12, that's doubled. I had low D, not good for thyroid, that's doubled. In fact, I'm going to pare it back a little bit. But I think in general, the liposomal supplements are so superior. That's something that I just didn't get. I don't know if I don't absorb well or if it's just, it helps everybody better this way. And I wanted to ask you your thoughts on that for future.
I think that most of the people we're going to see are going to do better on liposomal because it is so easily absorbed. Mm-hmm. And face it, when we see people and they're coming to us for help, their guts are a mess generally. Even if they don't know their guts are a mess, even if that's not their prime symptom, a lot of times it is, oh, I'm depressed. Well, let's look at your gut. What do you mean, my gut? Yeah, let's look at your gut. Right. And so I think the liposomals are really a lot better for everybody, especially with Hashimoto's. So the more absorbed liposomal liquid ionic minerals, powders, the last thing on my list would be tablets, the second to the last are capsules. Right. So everything that makes it easier for you to get that stuff in topical. Right. There's some vitamin D patches that you can wear. There's vitamin B12. I stopped using the B12. Patches for a while because they had folic acid in them. And now I found them that just have the methyl without the folic acid. So
you have to read the label so carefully.
You have to read the labels really, really carefully, right? So let's look at some of your labs and see what we see in there. I'd like to start with the just standard old blood test because a lot of times that's all we're going to see with people. They just bring in the labs that their doctor did. Sometimes they're 2 or 3 years old. But you can still get a sense of pattern, and then you'll know what you want them to get.
Okay.
Again. So let me look at your – actually, I'm going to look at – I'm going to open up the – I'll switch my screen share to your Master Health Tracker because I like to read the labs that way first. I'm particular. I set it up that way for a reason because it gives me a good global view and then I can move to the other. Where the heck did the Master Health Tracker go here? So hard to, ah, there we go. Find, I guess if I had less windows open, it would be fine. All right. So I've got your Master Health Tracker here. Where's your, let me go here. Oh, wait, let's go to that first page again. I added this index to some of them and I didn't finish writing all the links in, but to make it real easy, you just go to the index and you can click and you can make short links to all of them. It's not that hard to do. You can look it up in Excel to see how to do it on your own. I didn't get as far as the lab. So I'll go here. I get confused between, because I use Google Sheets so much, I get confused between, there we go, lab results. There we go. So, I don't have a date on here. Lynn, did you forget to put the date? You put these in, or did Lori, did you put these in?
Lynn, thank you.
No, they're there, but I think it's that little line. See that double line?
Oh, you just have to widen it.
Well, it was wide when I did it. So who knows?
All right. So your most recent ones are here. Your blood sugar is better. It's 80.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
When I've never seen 80 when I check it on the meter. The best I've seen is 90. So, okay. And it's usually between 90 and 120. So how could it be 80 the morning I got the blood drawn? How could it be that good?
Did you test it with your own meter that morning?
No.
always good to do because it's nice to see the difference. It might have been that something you did the day before and you go, whoa, that's really cool, right? Or it could be a disparity. But usually what I would see, if there's a disparity between meter and the blood, it's that the meter is a little bit lower. But some of those meters, it depends on the meter. You know, I find a big difference from meter to meter. Sometimes there's 5, 10, 15, 20 points difference.
It's the one touch ultra.
The one touch
ultra.
Ultra. Yeah, that's sometimes, you know, do you do multiples in a row? Do you do?
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, is it repeatable or does it vary a lot?
No, actually, I find a small thing helps the variability calm down, which is just cleaning, washing my hands and drying them off with a paper towel. I pretty much remove the variability.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I don't know because we don't know because we can't go back in time to know whether there's a that your meter is running high. I mean, I know people who have felt like that. Their meter was running high and they got a different meter and they feel a lot better. And I know that with the Keto Mojo, which is the one that also checks the ketones, that's this one.
Yes.
That one, I know one of our ERC members took it into the lab, got his blood tested, did the Keto Mojo before and after to compare, and it was within 3 points of the lab. So, but it's not uncommon for there to be a 10-point difference between a precision $10,000 instrument and a $15 meter that you bought on Amazon.
Would this be low because I'm hypoglycemic?
Oh, that's nowhere near hypoglycemic. No.
Okay.
No.
And the other thing that surprised me is I'm a very difficult stick, so I'm always incredibly stressed out before getting blood drawn, which is why I got so many blood tests at once because I can't handle it very often.
Well, whatever.
I don't know why it was so good. I don't believe it, but if I see it again, I'll begin to believe it.
Okay. Well, I would say let's just change it. Let's just do a little mindset shift here.
Okay.
Let's just believe it.
Okay.
Let's just believe it. I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right things. And maybe my blood sugar meter is running high.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah. Your body knows how to heal itself. Your uric acid is a little high here. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm just going to remind you of the big picture, intense heavy metals detox.
You were in the middle of the yeah.
Would that be the reason why?
It could be. Well, uric acid is produced by the liver. So, yeah, I would say.
And on the liver, it might produce more uric acid.
I'm not worried about it then. Let's watch it. So I would say be off your heavy metal detox, get into a groove,
right,
and then do these things again in about 3 months.
Great.
Okay. Nice. Potassium. Again, a potassium slightly off, but it's related to adrenals. You know, when the potassium, sodium, and the chlorides are out of whack, it's oftentimes related to adrenals. But it also could be that some of the metal chelation things that you're using is pulling out some of your minerals. I know it's hard because bananas and what else we do, potatoes, we always think about for potassium. But avocados and broccoli are really good sources as well. So just bump that up a bit.
Is it possible that infrared sauna 3 or 4 times a week would also...
I mean, you're sweating, right? You're sweating things away. I mean, it's a good thing, but yeah, I guess possibly you could lose some of your minerals that way, but it's so minor. I would just look at the list of potassium-rich foods and make sure that you're getting them on a regular basis.
I have been eating them more, and I notice my energy's better.
Good. You know, and stress also brings potassium levels down, so... And the heavy metals is definitely a big stress. What else do we have? Your protein is better than it was. It's higher than the, so it's a little bit above the range. I'm not really worried about that, given the state of the heavy metal detox.
And Hashimoto's, low stomach acid.
Exactly.
Betaine with pepsin. Sometimes I forget when I have.
Sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the globulin. You know, and globulin, immunoglobulin, right? So, autoimmune, you'll tend to see those a little bit higher in that case. Sometimes lower because you're using all of the globulins, and sometimes higher because you're in the midst of an attack. And I would just recommend generally not testing antibodies when you're in the middle of a heavy metal detox because you might be sorely disappointed that they're aggravated because of all that, you know, being released. Alk Phos is low, so zinc, not surprisingly, the zinc helped you, and I would just, you're going to have to get the stomach acid up, more zinc, liposomal I've never seen, but ionic zinc. You might need up to 90 milligrams a day to get this, and we'll see when we look at your Dutch.
Great. I really wanted to ask you about the zinc because I've been on PurenCap, but maybe I do better with liposomal.
Yeah, liquid. I have not seen liposomal, but I have seen ionic. So good state or trace minerals or any of the liquid ionics.
Liposomal.
What's that? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I've just never seen it. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I haven't seen liposomal in minerals. It might be just that it's a vitamin, an antioxidant type thing.
Okay.
But I've never seen any minerals in liposomal form, but ionic form is your best bet. Liver, LDH, when it's interesting, when LDH goes low, it's often, there's some hypoglycemia going on. So I'll see what your hemoglobin A1C is, but it's possible if you're having a spike, you're having a low. If you're not testing on a regular basis, it's hard to say. I'm in love with this little guy. This is the Freestyle Libre, and you wear this little patch on your arm.
Yes.
And anytime I want to test my blood sugar, I just go like that, and I can test it all the time. And so you'll get a sense, and even if you don't test it, it's still measuring it and it's recording it, and you'll get to see the graph of what it did. Even if you only tested it first thing in the morning and, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll see on the graph whether it's going up and up and down and down. You'll be able to catch those spots.
I've seen you talk about that on the chat room. I'm going to get one of those.
Yeah. So if you can get, if you have a naturopath or some sort of doc that could just prescribe it for you. Yeah. I went to online. Somebody just told me though in ERC that she got a really good price at Walmart. That instead of going online, she went into Walmart, and the Walmart guy said, "Oh, your insurance isn't going to cover this." She goes, yeah, I know. And she says, "Let me see if I can find you a good deal." And he got her the whole system for like $100-something.
Wow.
So it's worth, it's worth a try. Get a prescription and take it to Walmart and see what you can do. I love it because it's given me a lot of information that I didn't have before.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
Could you, there's the black boxes are covering some of the lab markers and.
Black boxes? So
yeah, we see. Well, to me, it looks like a black box. So you might have something.
I see them too. The black box.
It seems to go over.
The only black
right
box.
The AST.
The only black box I have is this thing from Zoom and that black line, and it's way at the top. Let me see. What about now?
Oh, it's going. Or maybe it's just that you got it bigger.
I made it smaller, actually. The only other black box I have is this. Let's see if it gets rid of this. Is the pictures. Is that cover anything?
No. It's on the bottom left.
Bottom left. Let me make this full screen and see what happens. How about now?
Nope, it's still there.
Yeah, I don't know. How about see if I move these things over to my other screen. There's nothing covering my screen.
Okay. Well,
so what's it covering? It's covering some of the
covering like the names. So like underneath LDH, it's you can't see. Okay, there you go.
That's better.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did. I just moved it. I have two screens, so I moved all the Zoom stuff over to the other screen. So if you see me looking off to the side, that's because it's moved over to my second monitor. All right, so you can see this LDH. And again, you're under heavy metal, but if we look at it, your LDH was low here. So there may be some valleys. Are you having any trouble with sleep?
No, because I started taking ionic magnesium. Occasionally I take CBD and I use lavender oil.
Mm-hmm.
I've slept perfectly my whole life until about a year ago. I suspect I'm starting perimenopause or something, and I know we'll talk about the hormones here. So, but with those aids, I sleep very well.
Good. Good. Your iron had been low. You got it up. Most of these numbers are looking, there's nothing really out of range. Cholesterol.
The ferritin was low. I don't know if you got there yet.
I haven't gotten there yet, but Okay. So, cholesterol, where to go? 187. I mean, your ratios are good. I think your LDLs could come up. That could be a little bit more exercise. It could be omega-3.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So that's what I would like to see a little bit more of. Your total T3 is low. Has been. Your TSH looks good. Your T4 looks good. Your T3, where's your free T3? Free T3 looks good. It's interesting that your total T3 is the only thing off last time, this time. I wonder if there's a different scale. I mean, it seems weird that that would be the only one, because your free and your total of the T4 is fine. So if it was a thyroid binding globulin issue, you'd usually see both the T3 and the T4 total be, you know, given that it's low, it would say you have a deficiency, less thyroid binding globulin. Oftentimes that's a testosterone excess. So we'll kind of keep these things till we look at the Dutch.
And unfortunately, I didn't get a Dutch. I got a BioHealth.
Oh, okay. You did. That was Michelle's Dutch.
But I will get a Dutch. It sounds like yeah.
Still could use a little bit more B12, folate, something along that. Maybe you have MTHFR issues and need more, but your MCD is still at the cusp there.
I have one heterozygous MTHFR SNP.
You do. So make sure lots of uncooked leafy greens and lots and up your liposomal B12 a little bit. See if that makes a difference. We'll see if what your homocysteine looks like too. This is interesting. So it's not uncommon to see high monocytes. Monocytes are usually either you're just getting over an infectious disease, or there's that chronic, and I see it elevated a lot in Hashimoto's and other autoimmune disease.
It's never been elevated ever before.
Never before. And it could be the heavy metal detox, right? That it's putting a strain on your system to have to work harder.
Yeah.
The basophils are a little high, which could be a parasitic thing. Again, because you've never had it before, I would wait 3 months before really, you know, feeling anything out on this other than general immune support, right? Avoiding the allergens and being extra super careful while you're doing a heavy metal detox is really important.
Right.
Eosinophils are a little high, so there's some allergy type reaction going on.
I get bad seasonal allergies. They tend to taper off in May-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your homocysteine has a history of being high. So, excuse me, that goes back to the B12 and the folate. Did you do a full immune panel or just the MTHFR? Genetic.
Yeah, I did 23andMe, and I love Dr. Lynch, and so I've been learning a lot from him.
Did you look at the MTRRs?
Yes, I have, I can't see it because your screen is up, but.
So if they're either heterozygous or homozygous, that would, you need to make sure you're.
Yeah, I have both MTRR SNPs. I didn't know what they meant because he didn't go over that. That wasn't one of the seven SNPs.
So they're related to B12.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll see my B12 levels. They're great. So
Your serum. See, serum B12 levels don't mean anything. I don't know if you've gone through the micronutrients module yet, but we talk about the different compartments that are good for measuring, and serum is not good. And a lot of times people have elevated serum even when they're not methylating because they're not converting it into anything useful that can be absorbed into the tissue.
Got it.
So the blood levels stay high. So yeah, I think your address the B12. It's really important to address the B12. Okay.
And how do I...
Well, if you're taking it up your level, how much are you taking?
I take...
Liposomal, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's liposomal.
Yeah.
It's Quiksilver Scientific.
Yeah.
My serum levels went from the low 300s to over 700 in a short period of time.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely getting in there. I would say you need more. That's all. I mean, your functional indicators are saying you need more. 700 is still not... It's not over the top. It's decent, but I'd rather see it closer to 1,000 in the serum, but... Functional, right? Functional size of your red blood cells, mm-hmm. and then also the homocysteine. Okay, homocysteine. If I don't know how much you remember about your pathways, any of you guys that are available Thursday tomorrow in the afternoon, and then Saturday again, come to the nutrigenomics interpretations. It's just over and over and over and over again, and you eventually get it. But when you look at the methylation pathway, you have the folate over here. You've got the cycle with the homocysteine at the bottom over here. And then the homocysteine can build up either because it can't go up and around or it can't go down into the sulfur pathways, into the glutathione production pathways. So deficiency of B6 will inhibit it from going down. Deficiency of B12 or folate will inhibit it going up this way. Right. And then there's a few other markers, BHMT, that block the middle. And, you know, if you have BHMT, that would relate to low stomach acid as well. And then that's going to further obstruct it up here. So, you know, you can't go wrong with B6, B12, and folate to address the homocysteine and the MCV.
And it's okay if it goes up to 1,000 on my serum levels. It's okay.
It's totally okay.
Because I have a methylation issue because of the MTRR, and it's not getting into the cell, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and just bump it up. And if you're taking methyl, as long as the only downside of taking too much methylated Bs is if you have the COMT. And the COMT will cause you to need to go really super slow, because with the COMT, too much methyl groups going in there are going to cause it to back up, and it won't break down the dopamine as well. And you might start to get anxious, or you might start to get dopamine and serotonin. You might start to get kind of aggravated and irritable. Heterozygous doesn't really do it. It's really homozygous. Okay, heterozygous, actually, Ben Lynch thinks heterozygous COMT is actually more advantageous than the clean, the green. So, yeah, but definitely with the red, I'm careful. If I don't know their genetics, or they don't know their genetics, I always just start them. I get the liposomal. I like to use the Seeking Health liposomal B12, and it says 40 drops. So 40 drops is like 5 grams, I think. It's like ridiculous amount, 5 milligrams. And so what I do is I just start them on 1 drop. And I have them go to 2 drops, and then I have them go to 3 drops, because I think low and slow is the safest way to go, right? Especially if you don't know their genetics. But even if you do, there may be some other issues that when you just bombard the system with a lot of B12 or methyl groups, when it's not used to it, that can throw things off. Okay, transferrin is a little bit on the high side. Ferritin is a little bit on the low side. And your iron is a little on the high-ish side.
So I've had, for the first time in the last year, more frequent periods. I've been 28 days since 12 and a half. Boom, last year I started getting periods every 3 weeks. Is it possible my ferritin is low because I'm bleeding more?
Yeah, it definitely could be low because you're bleeding more. But you're keeping your functional levels good. Your where's your hemoglobin was fine. Your hemoglobin, hematocrit, all those numbers are fine. Your ferritin is a little bit low, and your iron is at a good level. So I don't think it's really anything much to address, just making sure you're eating lots of your leafy greens and have a lot of the, and, you know, vitamin C rich foods with it to get your iron absorbed.
Thyroid website you like also said that heavy metals would cause, if the other levels are pretty normal and the low ferritin, again, that's heavy metal detox.
It could definitely be. There's so much of this can be heavy metal detox. So like I said, I'm not really concerned about it. Yeah, you've got some periods where you're dropping. Because if you're saying that you have some high things, you've got some periods where you're dropping. Because your hemoglobin A1C is a 4.8. Right? So there's some things. And it could be okay. It could be just that, you know, you drop in the middle of the night when you don't need it and it comes back up. But it could be that you drop after a high. You drop and then you come back up. And so it's averaging 4.8, which is a good number. But your LDH is low.
Right.
And you're saying your blood sugar is usually in the 90s, mm-hmm. so that they don't generally jive that well unless you've got some dramatic dips, right? So I would just monitor. I think if you can get yourself a freestyle and just kind of see without a lot of poking, because it takes a lot of poking to catch some of these dips, right? You're having to eat and then keep poking yourself for 3, 4, 5 hours to catch it. I would say, yeah, because a lot of times folks don't catch the foods that are spiking their blood sugar because they don't catch the spikes. They come right back down pretty quickly. And I know some people who will have a food that is higher glycemic and they find that their sugar plummets by the time they get to test it. So I would just, yeah, it'd be good to be able to get some numbers on that and see if there's particular foods or particular stresses. Again, you're in this state of heavy metal detox, but it's gone down from 5.4 a little over a year and a half ago. So I would say you're moving in the right direction, as long as it doesn't go lower than that, because that's in an ideal range, 4.8.
So the question is it good or is it due to hypoglycemia?
Is it good or is it a hypoglycemia? So if you're not catching yourself in those states of like, you know, then it's probably fine. But it would be good to get some records of that to see if there's some foods that are, you know, spike and then drop.
Great.
And I'm perfectly fine with my blood sugars in the 60s. So when I haven't done my hemoglobin A1C in a while, but when I get it done, I'm probably going to see it's gone down because of how much time I've been spending in the 60s. That's not bad because how am I feeling? If you got somebody who's feeling like, whoa, when their blood sugar drops below 70 and they're like, that's a problem, right? But you say, wow, whenever my blood sugar goes in the 60s and 70s, I feel like on top of the world. That's great because they're probably burning ketones. Mm-hmm. Right. Have you done any intermittent fasting?
Yeah, I started to do that. It helps. It definitely helps me a lot if I don't eat like after 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it helps me a ton.
That's great. So let's just stick with that. So there's your 746. So that's a good number. Do we see in your folate numbers look good again in the blood? Doesn't necessarily. Are these from your saliva test that you put in here, or were these serum?
Serum.
Hormones here.
But I do have a saliva. But
those are from the saliva?
About a year and a half old, but those are serum that we're looking at, I believe.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, so it was a 8.7 first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you don't know what those are, right? Because you don't know what that is the rest of the day. Your progesterone's low, your estradiol's low, you're definitely perimenopausal there.
Okay.
Your
sex. That's what that means.
Yeah. I mean, you could verify it with FSH and LH. You'll see those skyrocket when you're going in perimenopausal. But it would be good to see what the ratios are. And really the metabolites and the Dutch would be good to see. Testosterone's on the low side. You know, a lot of people jump right in with low testosterone. Let's just pump you up with testosterone. And that's a dangerous thing to do for both females and males. If you don't know what the metabolites are, you don't know what the ratios of the various estrogens are. Because a lot of folks have over aromatase, which is the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen. So what happens if you give somebody who has a lot of aromatase more testosterone? They're going to make more estrogen. Now, in a female, it might be okay if they're not estrogen dominant. In a male who's going through andropause and losing their sex drive and you give them testosterone and they start to get more feminizing traits, it's not real happy making for our guys. So we really have to be careful about those guys that go to the bioidentical hormone docs and they come out with the prescription for testosterone. It actually could be putting them into a dangerous situation by raising their estrogen. And all you have to do is do like a Dutch test would give you the verification on that.
And let's say the progesterone's low. What do I do?
It depends. It's hard to conjecture. So if the progesterone's low, depends on what's low, what's high, and what the ratios are and what the metabolites are. Because there's a lot of different possibilities. It might be put you on progesterone, right? It might be putting you on DIM or something to get the estrogens down and divert more of the precursors over to might be to put you on some pregnenolone. Right. If I see some things going on with the adrenals and low DHEA and, you know, cortisol's out of commission, there may be certain points in giving pregnenolone. So it just all depends on what we see. Hard to conjecture. I mean, we do go through a lot of those cases when you get to that module where we analyze that. So yeah, all your sex hormones are on the low side. So there's a number of things, and it could, and your cortisol's in the quote unquote normal range. So it would really depend on seeing. That's why I like Dutch, because I can see what the ratios are. I could see, oh, if you're running really high cortisols at certain periods of time, that you're stealing from your sex hormone precursors.
Right. Like I mentioned, I did the biohealth.
Yeah, we'll look at your biohealth, because that
it's about a year old. So.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's look at that. Let's go down there. Let me go and new share. And let's see. We'll find Lori here. Okay. All right, so you see back here where I'm at, back at your screen. This is your doctor's data. Helicobacter negative, great. Just for what it's worth, some of the tests are better than others. So if you have somebody with persistent symptoms that seem like H. pylori, and you get a test from doctor's data or Genova or one of these, and you find that it comes back negative, I do a second test. Biohealth tends to be, for me, the most reliable. I've found people where I go, oh, I just don't believe it's negative. And I've gone and run it on Biohealth, found it to be positive, worked on it, and then got it to be negative. So
I'm glad you said that. That's exactly what I did. And it came back negative on Biohealth as well.
Good. That's good. Let me go to Biohealth first. Where's your Biohealth? That's that. I have your doctor's data. I have your Quicksilver.
Look under Dutch. It might have been, she put Dutch. I see it on the top, but it's actually.
Is that yours?
No.
No, that's somebody else's. So that isn't Dutch. Let me look in this folder again. That was Michelle's. Okay, Lori, Quicksilver, is BCS bio? No.
It was an HPA stress profile.
Doctor's data, Quicksilver, mock form, menstrual tracker. I don't know what this one is. I think this one's, it's a functional health report. No, I don't see it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't see it.
I uploaded it, but maybe it.
Yeah, Lynn, could you look to see if it's.
Which one is it?
The BioHealth.
Yeah, it should be there.
I don't see it.
Okay.
I see doctor's data, Quicksilver, BCS, practitioner report, blood chemistry, mock form, and then the Master Health Tracker.
I can read things off if you ask me questions. I can tell you what things.
Well, I would say it's really hard for me to do it that way. I'm the visual. Lynn, if you have it, can you just pop it in the Skype and I'll just download it there? Or, yeah, because if you put it in that folder, it may take a while for it to sync. And I had trouble with my Dropbox yesterday. I don't know if it's still syncing today, but it was.
Maybe it didn't upload. Stuck,
so maybe that one file didn't look. Let's see. I think I may have to reboot because I tried to restart it and it didn't sync. All right. So we'll just look at some of the others and see if you can just see. If you email it to erc@dradenmarie.com, I can pull that up. Okay, so let's look at, oh wait, no, that's.
That's what I got.
That's Michelle's.
Oh, okay, but that is what I got.
That's the one you got, okay. Okay, that's Michelle's. All right, so the other one was your Quicksilver, and it showed your mercury.
Yeah. And this is, you know, for whatever it's worth, the nutrient elements could be kind of interesting to look at, the selenium and the zinc levels. You can see I was overdoing it on the selenium for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one question you might have some insights into, I have no idea why my manganese would be so high. And do I need to worry about it? Will it most likely just go down when I'm done this?
I'm not really concerned about it at this point. Okay. I'm not, this is the blood test or what was this?
Yeah, for Quiksilver, you do hair and blood. And so these are serum nutrient.
Yeah. I kind of, I'm more concerned about the toxics. And mercury is clearly high, and cobalt is high, and cadmium is high.
Yeah.
You know, they're all high, actually. I'd like to see them all in that under 20%
high. And I made a rookie error. They're high. This is the second test I did when I was in the middle of doing it, and you're supposed to wait a month after you complete it. So that's why they're so high.
They were because you're mobilizing.
Right.
Right. And right. Yeah.
Right. So that's why you see it so high.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about that. You probably want to redo it after maybe 3-4 months after you're done to see what the whole thing looks like. Because even if it's still a mess, you don't want to go right back into it. You want to give your body a break of 3 or 4 months, you know, and then you can go back and do. Okay. Good. Anything else? I'm just going to do a quick show you what the blood chemistry, and then we'll go on to Michelle's. I just want to see what I like to look at in here is this is all I looked at all these before. But the blood, I like to look at some of their little reports that they put.
Can I ask you a question while you're searching?
Yeah. Did Lynn send you this, by the way? Did you send her?
Yes, I did. I sent her that.
Yes.
Why would the C-reactive protein go down so much, but all my other cardio results are worse? I saw a big improvement with C-reactive protein, and that seemed to be the opposite of all the other cardio markers.
Well, the cardio markers looked, other than homocysteine, your cardiac markers looked fine. I mean, when I look back at your Excel sheet.
I guess I was looking at the trend. They all got a little worse compared to a year ago.
But it's all relative. Like, look at this. You've got...
Like, could getting the root canal teeth out, the bad, rotten teeth out, could that make my therapy a lot better?
Well, you're doing things to reduce systemic inflammation, right? Cool. So, absolutely. I don't see this as being, your triglycerides are a little higher, your HDLs. I would say your iron got better there. Yeah. Either CRP is not just related to cardiac, right? CRP is related to a whole lot of stuff. So if you had sources of inflammation that are coming down, you're going to see an improvement in your CRP. Definitely.
Definitely. Thanks.
And if I look in here, let me just to give you an idea of where I like to look here, you got all this stuff and this is great information. It's a great learning tool. But I like to look at what they're... Okay, they're saying your sex hormones. So, right, your sex hormones are off, right? All, like I said, without more detail into how, why, I wouldn't want to just say, oh, just take some progesterone and that might help. It could very well help, but it may be just putting a Band-Aid over the problem. You know, and the adrenals and all that. Cardiovascular risk, allergy index, that's what I mentioned with the eosinophils and the basophils, immune with the lymphocytes being down and the monocytes being up.
Is there, in addition to diet, exercise, anything else I can do to stabilize the sex hormones a little more before I go to?
Yeah, so there's a ton of things you can do. And again, not knowing the exact reason and the ratios and all, you can certainly look at some of the phytoestrogenic foods. You can look at adding some flax to your diet. You can look at clover and some of those herbs that will help balance. You can look at making sure your B6 is in good order, which may not be because the homocysteine's a little bit high. And B6 is so important for the making of the sex hormones. You could look at cruciferous vegetables. Are you eating enough of them? The sulforaphane, the DIM, things like that, that could really help. But your numbers are high, so I'd be careful about DIM per se, because it can bring, not high, because it can bring it down. It can bring the total estrogens down.
Glad you mentioned flax, and I know we have to move on to the next person, but when I eat flax and when I have fish oil, it brings on those more frequent periods. And I find that strange, and I can't get an answer to that question from my OBGYN or my naturopath or anybody. Why would flax and fish oil?
It's making you more estrogen dominant. Okay. So if you're making you more estrogen dominant and you've got your low in progesterone, then you're not going to hold on to the lining towards the end of your period. The period's going to be shorter. So the things I would try, I would increase your zinc for sure. I would look at the B6 and the B vitamins, right? Making sure you're really clean on the gluten and the grains. And lots of cruciferous vegetables, but I wouldn't do the concentrated stuff. I would just eat the real food.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I did email you the BioHealth. There were two of them, but
emailed me. Just so you know. All right. On to which email?
Your Rita Marie at Dr. Rita Marie.
Okay. Lynn, here, Lori G. All right. We'll look at those open. Okay, here we go. There were two of them, two different ones?
Yep.
Okay, that was the first one. And it should open it in the same window so we could see it. Please move this window away from the shared application. I thought this was the one I was sharing. Ha! Huh? You share. And here. Let me stop share. And then let me hit a new share. Share. It looks like there's a lot of chat going on. Anything I need to be aware of? I can get really into these labs. So sorry I've taken so long. I hope this is helpful. Learning? Is everybody learning something?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Susan goes, yeah.
Dr. Rita Marie, I had a question when you were talking about the possibility of her blood sugar dipping at different points in the day.
Yes.
I was wondering if looking at the LDH would give some insights into that, since sometimes.
Yeah, her LDH was low.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of the clues. So I saw that, and then I saw the hemoglobin A1C low, and that's what made me think that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Good catch on that. That's definitely what keyed me off. I said, oh, it looks like it might be going low. Let's see. And then we saw the 4.8. Yeah. All right. So this is you with the cortisol awakening response. It looks like you're low when you first wake up. You get this big, massive shoot of cortisol, and then you get back into a decent range, and then you're dropping down noon and the rest of the day. Does this match up with your energies?
Yeah, I would say my energy is probably a little better now in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it spikes in the morning because I pick up my phone and read my
email. That'll do it.
While I'm still in bed.
So right there in your eyes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So this goes along with, this could be stealing away from the precursors, the pregnenolone steal kind of thing. Let's see what they give you. This is a new form. I'm not used to this one. Perceived stress score 22, time of awakening 707. So we have, yeah. They don't give you there's the sum, 34. So your sum shows up in the normal range, but your pattern is abnormal, right? Because of this spike averages out with the lows. So a lot of folks, like looking at your blood is saying, oh, it's perfectly normal, but it's not. There's a dysfunctional pattern. And your DHEA is 5. I like to see it more in the 7 to 8 range. So it's marginally low. Here's the DHEA ratios. Now, this is a new, I have to study this one. This is their new test form. I haven't done any of these. And they do the SIG-IGA too. All right, your estradiol is low. And you did it, which part of your cycle were you? Do you know?
I don't remember because that test was so long ago.
This was over a year ago, right? Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so I want to look at, what I like to look at is the ratios between them. So estradiol, estriol, estrone. Your estriol is super low, See the estriol? That's the one you want higher. Your estradiol is also super low. Your estrone is on the high end of the range. So the ratios are not playing out. The estrogen quotient is not playing out to be where it should be. So you want to be increasing your estriol. Oftentimes that's an iodine deficiency. And I know a lot of people are really scared of iodine with Hashimoto's. You know, it's like iodine, it's the curse of Hashimoto's. It's not necessarily if you have a deficiency. So you might want to look at an iodine load test.
It makes my heart, I get palpitations.
From even, iodine?
Yeah, well, even when I have like seaweed or anything like that.
Really? Okay. Interesting. Because it's frequently that conversion is a low iodine. And when we bring up the iodine, we end up bringing up the estriol. Estriol is an easy to supplement. One, you can buy over-the-counter estriol. I think Anna Kabeca sells some stuff that has it in it. You can get it from Biomatrix, which is the sister company to BioHealth. They have their new cream. They call it a topical. You can take it orally, but I don't like estrogen orally. So you can actually get their little oil and you can apply it to the labia. And it helps with lubrication and it helps with bringing the ratio up. Estriol is protective, right? The others are proliferative. So bringing up, if you're going to supplement with any kind of estriol, estrogen, I usually would start with, if there's an indication for it, doing the estriol and doing it topically. Then you don't need a prescription for it. But also because of this pattern here, you might benefit from some pregnenolone and might be a little bit of DHEA, but DHEA would bring down the cortisol. So you'd only want to do the DHEA first thing in the morning and not the rest of the day. So like a little dab, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 drops of the liquid sublingual DHEA in the morning. And then I would probably do pregnenolone at noon and afternoon. Not nighttime, you know, so as late as dinner time. And you can get those from Biomatrix. They're over the counter, 10 to 12 drops, maybe twice a day of the pregnenolone and the DHEA once a day in the morning. And see if you can bring those precursors up. And then if you feel comfortable with a little bit of estriol. Your progesterone isn't bad.
But it's a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, I think you shouldn't supplement based on a test that's a year and a half old. I think you should get a Dutch test and we'll see. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Is this, okay. So where is Herman Gottlieb? Oh, this is Lori. Sorry, I was okay. I was thinking it was Michelle's, and I'm like, what? Okay, this was Michelle's. So, Michelle, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. All right. So, tell us a little bit about your person.
Well, I have to admit that I have not fully prepared for today, so I'm willing to allow someone else to go in my stead. I have a quick question, however.
Sure.
I'm curious about the relationship between triglycerides and total cholesterol, because we just did the blood work on my daughter and she has a total cholesterol of 108, but her triglycerides are 117. Mm. And so I thought triglycerides were a component of total cholesterol, but obviously it isn't.
No, they're not. They're separate. So triglycerides are like the free fatty acids in the blood. So the triglycerides are oftentimes elevated as a result of more of the sugar or starches in the blood that get converted. Or too many calories that just get converted, or too much fat in the diet. But I see it more likely related to the sugars and the carbohydrates.
Yeah, her A1C is elevated at 8. I just didn't understand how the triglycerides could be higher than the cholesterol.
Oh, no, there's not a component. The LDLs and HDLs, right, that would be the thing. You couldn't have an HDL or an LDL higher than your total cholesterol. But the triglycerides are a totally separate number. They usually go hand in hand, right? But I've seen people with normal cholesterols and 250 on their triglycerides. I've seen people with 75 on their triglycerides and 250 on their cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So it's not always apples to oranges or apples to apples. It's kind of a apples to oranges comparison.
And this is elevated, the 117?
117 is elevated. I would love to see them 75, like 50 to 75, 75 at the most. And I love to see the ratio, really look at that ratio to LDL, HDLs. So most likely it's triglycerides are a lot higher than our HDLs. Because if her
yes,
total
the HDL is 42.
Yeah, 42. So there she's almost at a 3-to-1. She's like a 2.5-to-1 ratio of triglycerides to HDL. So that's definitely a blood sugar issue.
Yeah.
Which obviously if her HbA, this isn't the daughter that has diabetes, right? This is a different daughter.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they even with all the insulin, they still have it at 8.0 for her A1C.
Oh Lord.
And her fasting blood glucose was like 179. But you know, that's what they believe. So
oh man. They don't believe in science clearly.
No.
That's the witch doctor stuff, you know? Yeah, that's the witch doctor stuff.
Far be for us kooks to say anything.
I know. You just had her looking normal for a while there.
So, yeah, what I was looking at with the biohealth versus the other profile was that they didn't seem consistent, even when I looked at, say, the cortisol.
Yeah.
It had me with a low... And this is mine. This is actually my profile. So it had me with a low cortisol in the morning. And I don't really feel low in the morning, but that's what it says.
And was this first thing in the morning or was this within a half an hour in the morning? Because that's what they don't distinguish. I should open up Lori's again. She had the awakening response one where they have you take it immediately upon waking and then a half an hour later. But in the olden day, like when you did this, how long ago was this? This was, they still had it. With the regular test, they just have you do it within a time range, right? Within between 6 and 8.
Yeah.
And they don't distinguish. But what they found is that it's going to be low when you first wake up. And then within a half an hour, it's when the peak is. And then it starts to come down. Okay. So when we just take it between 6 and 8, like we don't pay attention to that, you could get a false reading first thing in the morning.
Okay, because it didn't match up with the Dutch test. Yeah.
Right, but think about the Dutch being P, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to be a couple hours behind.
Mm-hmm.
So
I should just take everything and shift it is what you're saying.
Yeah, it could be. And then the other thing, and I haven't had a chance to really look into this other than somebody gave me their report and then there's the Dutch expanded or something that they actually do the awakening response and they do saliva and the urine at the same time. And she just gave me that last week. I mean, I've been on vacation for a week and I haven't had a chance to really look at it, but I thought it was quite interesting to see that, and I haven't, you know, read all their literature. So maybe we'll do this on the next one and really go into it a little bit more detail because I'd like to understand that connection as well. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, they're doing both. But I didn't get to watch their videos and see what they had to say about the connection between them. But if you think about it, right, your pee is going to reflect what you're excreting, not what's in your saliva or your blood at that point in time, that exact point in time. Right. So I don't know that you can compare them at the exact time. So I'm going to look at what they're recommending for that. Like if they're recommending do the pee at these times and the saliva at these times, they may be actually making up for it because hers was quite consistent.
Okay. So if, like I said, if we can table this to next month and someone else can go if they have any.
Yeah, I don't have any others submitted, but we can open up to general questions. And it's also 8:20 already, so I'm fine with, you know, being done. So who else might have some questions about what we just talked about or anything at all? Let's just go ahead and discuss it. And if not, we'll table it and we'll all go to bed. Yeah, Susan, unmute yourself.
Okay. You had mentioned when you're looking at Lori's lab work, something about the DHEA can lower the cortisol? Can you explain that?
Well, DHEA, so high cortisol suppresses DHEA. High DHEA suppresses cortisol. It's like a seesaw.
Say it again.
So high cortisol will suppress DHEA. So when you see people with a high cortisol, you're going to see them with that low. They suppress their DHEA production, right? Because it's same precursor, same gland, and it's going, oh, we need cortisol more than we need nice, healthy skin and, you know, good anti-aging. Right? We need more cortisol. Boom. Shuffle it. And as soon as that cortisol starts, the DHEA comes up, it's like, oh, we can calm down. And it settles down the cortisol. So you have to be careful about supplementing DHEA with somebody with low cortisol. Right? You can do it if you do it like I looked at her picture. I said, don't do DHEA at these points, but do the DHEA here. It might bring the cortisol down a little. And then do pregnenolone where the cortisols were really low to help bring that up into a normal range, but also to provide more precursor for the sex hormones. Does that make sense?
I think so.
And, you know, you're looking at this without having studied the adrenal modules. And, you know, if you really get into that, even just going into some of the stuff in the CAFE program, the student one, you'll get a lot of this. And there's a booklet in the last module. I summarize everything in the last module, and you really can just cheat and sneak to the last module and, you know, get the goodies. But there's a little booklet on just the whole process of the adrenal analyzing the labs and what that means. And I mean, it's not as much detail, but it's definitely the overview, and you might get a lot out of reading that.
Okay. No, I was asking because I had my Dutch done. I haven't uploaded it to send it to you perhaps next month.
Okay.
And came back with my cortisol levels low, and I have been feeling that way, and they used to be really high. So I'm like, what's up with that? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's another conversation.
Well, when they're really high, it's a temporary state of euphoria, basically. It's like you can't live that way for long. Your body, you're going and you're going and you're going and you're going and you're on this high stress level, and suddenly you burn out. You've used up the nutrients, you've used up the precursors, and crash. So it's very common. That's why we have the three stages of adrenal fatigue. You go from that really high to the really low unless you intervene.
I guess I didn't do enough intervention, all my sweet spot and CAFE and this and that. So, you know, it's all good. It's an opportunity for me to revisit everything.
Visit and learn. And that's what's going to happen with people, right? There's going to be some that you give a few sips to and they're off and flying and running and everything's great. And then there's the others who you're like, oh, all right, let's revisit this. Well, we tried this. That didn't work. Let's try this other thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And then also, you know, with yourself, you can look at it more clearly. You can know if you've got the dietary indiscretions that are trying to cheat when it's not really working. And that's what happens with our people. They're like, well, I was doing so well that I didn't think having marshmallows and chocolate chip cookies was going to hurt me.
Oh, no. I'm not going there.
You're not going there. You're more like me. Let's just get a mango here and there and see if we can get away with it.
Oh my gosh. I ate half an apple the other day and I thought I was died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, that's how I felt about the mango. It was pretty darn
good. Apple, no less. And oh my gosh, it was amazingly sweet.
Did your sugars go?
I didn't even measure. I didn't want to know. I just wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, don't want to know.
Don't want to know? All right. Well, I like to know.
And I had it on top of a huge green salad, so I wasn't overly.
You're probably fine. Yeah. And it does, it's really nice to have that, because I love fruit, and fruit is so healthy for us. And some people, they're fine with it, and others of us with the just crappy genetics for blood sugar can't get away with too much. And I was listening to Michael Greger, his book, How Not to Die. Have you heard that one? Very big, you know, plant-based everything and about how fruits and, you know, mangoes and this and that. And he's even talking dried fruits, but he's not talking about personalizing, right? So for a lot of people, that's great. And yeah, diabetics can eat as much fruit as they want and this kind of thing. But let's just look at it let's just look at it on an individual basis, right? But it was like, I was just drooling as I'm listening to him. And he gave apples and pears and like, oh yeah, I wish.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish it was that straightforward.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Who else? Hi, Janine. Who else is on? I haven't even looked at the names. I see a bunch of people. Let's see. Brandon. Hey, Brandon. Lori Lynn and Rose. Marcy. Hi, Marcy. I saw Marcy. The top of Marcy's head I see. Maria. Hi, Maria. And Susan. Susan D and Susan L and Valerie. And Valerie M. Both Valeries are on. So, hey, guys. Anybody questions or comments? No? We're good? So join us for the nutrigenomics. If you can make tomorrow's, if you make Saturday's, certainly don't submit yours because I don't have time to do everybody's, you know, all you guys is, you can submit them on these calls. But I'm going to just do a marathon session.
There's actually quite a few now. They've been coming. So
yeah, we've been sending reminders. So they're going to be signing up. I used to do them as a one day thing. I'd start at 11 in the morning and just keep going. And we'd had them go like 7, 8, 9 hours straight. I remember doing one and I realized that I didn't even give them a break and I didn't even stop to pee. You know, I had intended to have a break.
Yeah. And go for lunch. And this is like at 8 o'clock at night. We've been going since
11 in the morning. And I'm like, guys, and there were still like 10 people on and they get into it. So I decided to break it up into two spots. So we're going to do 3 hours tomorrow and that's going to be a solid three. It has to end at the 3 hours just because I have other calls after it. And then the one on Saturday, if we go longer, we'll go longer. But you can learn a lot about these interpretations of genetics just by going to the nutrigenomics module in the student portal. And there's probably 30 hours worth of, maybe more by now, because every year we just keep adding more of those interpretation sessions. So you can just watch and listen and learn and, you know, and it's the kind of thing where repetition is king, right? The more you hear it, the more you get it. And that's how I've gotten it, just by going over and over and over. You see, when I looked at that new biohealth format, it's like, oh, I got to go study this one because I've only seen this once or twice before and I haven't actually run them. And that new biohealth or new Dutch test with the saliva and the urine, I got to study it, right? But the more you study it, the more you go through it. And when you understand the biochemistry behind it, that really helps you a lot. That helps a lot. So anyhow, anybody else?
And then do you want to remind people that the information on how to come to the call is in your NEPT news?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't get one this last week, but you should have gotten one the week before.
Yeah, and there'll be another one coming out on Friday. Oh, yeah, so look back at that, the one from last week, because that's too late. Yeah, so I've given you the Zoom call links. And you can also, if you want to post it on the Facebook group, you can post it on the NEPT Facebook group to see if anybody wants to come. It should be this, it's a separate Zoom link on Thursday and Saturday, are two separate Zoom links, so you need both of them. What else? Next week we're doing a PBSS, Practice Building Success System. We were a little late in getting the thing out. I think it might have gone out today. Did it go out today? Okay, about the speaker thing. That's going to be really good. She's got a lot of really good tips on using speaking to engage your ideal audience. So I know some of you are like, speaking? No way, not me. But it's an amazing way to go, regardless of what stage you're in. You always have people who are 3 or 4 steps behind you that you can speak to. So don't, you know, I wouldn't go and, you know, sign up for a talk at the biochemical convention or whatever, you know, people who are really advanced until you're there, right? But I would definitely go talk to your community at your library, talk to the celiac group in your town. There's a whole lot of places like that you can talk to because it's so important to establish yourself as the authority. Why would people want to listen to you when they could read a book? Why would people want to listen to you? They want to connect with you. And when they do connect with you and they feel your heart and they feel your connection and they feel how smart you are and how much you know, they're like, I want her to help me. I want him to help me. So anything else? Anything else we have coming up that you should be aware of. There's going to be I think it's the end of August. I can't remember.
Well, there is, of course, the following Saturday is the 2-day live stream.
Oh, yeah.
Come ticket to that.
And we have to reach out to people who we want to come and speak on that. But yeah, you can come to that. We're charging $47 for it. We had 328 people sign up and pay $47 to come to that. Some of them paid $97 because they didn't use the coupon. And then we have about 200 people who were in Sweet Spot and we gave a free ticket too. So we gave you guys free tickets. We sent you that link, right? And you got that. So you get to come to that for free. And it's just going to be similar to the way we do our Spring into Vitality events. Very practical. I'm trying to do lots of the home testing stuff with them, sharing how to look at stuff. So it's going to really be structured similar to Spring into Vitality, only without the in-person and without the food. They got to make their own food. Yeah. Susan?
What are going to be the hours of that weekend? Because I've got somebody that I'm thinking about signing. And then with that, how do we go back and have someone sign up for it? Is there a link somewhere?
There is a link. And I think it's, what is it, foodandjeans.com?
Well, isn't Food and Jeans to the webinar?
No. That was, I think, to the order form. Let me just check it real quick. I think it's foodandjeans.com. I tried to make it something easy to remember, and then, of course, I forgot. Yeah, foodandjeans.com.
Okay.
It starts with Get to the Root Cause. And it's going to be, I think, let me see if I said the times on here, but the times, I think, are like 9:30 to 6.
Yeah. I couldn't see the times, but I might have
missed it. Yeah, I didn't put the times in.
Well, actually, it is when you go.
Once you sign up, it tells you, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to be sending out the access information probably tomorrow. It's probably about 9:30 to 6 or so. An IV day, right? And there'll be breaks. There'll be a break in the morning and then lunch and then a break in the afternoon and lunch. Probably not as long a breaks as we do in the live event.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's for both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Both days, yeah. Probably a little earlier than that. It will probably end by 5 on Sunday. Cool. And then we're going to be sending out some assessments for them to do in advance so they can fill them out. And then as we go through the weekend, we'll help them to see what some of those assessments mean.
Perfect. My sister-in-law signed up. I'm so proud of her. Shocked that she did that.
Nice.
I have another friend who I'm going to talk to about doing this because she is not well, and this would be awesome way for her to get herself plunged into educating herself.
And that's what people need. And we're opening up registration for ERC there, but right now we only have 35 spots left for ERC because we've already filled some of them. So there'll be over 500 people there and only 35 spots. So I want to give them what they can take away. And if we have to make a waiting list for ERC, we could probably try to open it up again, not wait a whole year if we get a lot of interest. But yeah, it was a lot of interest on that call. And by the time we hung up the call, there were over 200 people registered for that webinar.
I was shocked when I saw how many people were on that initial call. That was fantastic.
Phenomenal. It's a hot topic. It's a hot topic. And you know, how many people were like, what? You're only charging $47? Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Because so many people want to come to the events, but you know, it's an expense to come to the events and to have to travel. And, you know, and that's what I said. I said, some people in, you know, Australia can't afford to travel all the way to Austin to come to an event like this. And it's going to be very interactive. We're doing it on Zoom, and, it's going to be, some parts are going to be in my living room with me sitting on the couch and being filmed, showing various test strips and all, similar to what we do at SIV, only they can't actually do it. We'll do some kitchen stuff. I got to double check with Karen, but Karen said she'd come over and do a kitchen demo. And so, you know, some food stuff. It's kind of a combination of SIV 2016, which was the testing, and 17, which was the food as medicine. So it's kind of picking and choosing pieces from both. Okay, here's the assessments and here's the food as medicine pieces. So we'll see. This is the first time I've done something like this. So it's kind of exciting. It's very exciting. So maybe we can do more, you know, more practitioner trainings this way, more everything this way, because it's a heck of a lot less work to set up than Spring into Vitality or Shine. Oh my God, those are so much work. so much work. So, and we, I don't know, we may not get the same level of like excitement over things, but who knows? We might. We might, you know, so we'll see how it goes. I'll let you know. But it was certainly lucrative to offer a $47 program. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You're going to walk away with immense value. So
oh my gosh. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. We don't have to pay some hotel like $20,000 to rent a room, you know?
Exactly.
And we don't have to spend months and months of, you know, organizing and orchestrating and lugging stuff over there and all. I could just be here and spread it out. And, you know, if there's something I want to show them that I didn't pull out, on a break, I can go get it, you know? So I'm excited. I like doing stuff like this. It's a lot of fun. All right, guys. Well, you guys have a really wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you. Actually, I think there's another. Is there another call tomorrow? Our call schedule got really crazy this summer because of so many, you know,
there's
trips,
and travels. The last of the Body Freedom
Program. Body Freedom tomorrow.
It's at 5 Central.
I got to go get ready for that one. That's open on the site. It may not be fully, you know, updated, but I'm going to finish updating it and we'll put it together tomorrow. And it's the mindfulness one. So
yeah.
Cool. Thank you guys. Bye.